Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, entitled Prayers by the Demigods, Text 27. Eka Ayanam Asau Dvi Falas Trimulash Chatu Rasa Pancha Vidaha Shat Atma Sapta Tvag Ashta Vittapo Navaksho Dasha Chadi Dvi Khago Hi Adhi Vriksha Ekayanosau Dvifalas Trimulash Ekayano asau dvipalas trimulas Chaturasa panchavida shadatma Chaturasa panchavida sadatma Saptatvagashta vitapo navaksho Saptatva Gashta Vittapo Navaksho Dashaj Chadi Dvikago Hyadi Vrikshaha Dashaj Chadi Dvikago Hyadi Vrikshaha Ekayano saudvi falas trimulas Chaturasa panchavida shadatma Sapta tvag ashta vitapo navaksho Dashaj chadi dvikago hi adi vrikshaha Ekayano sau dvifalas trimulas Chaturasa panchavida shadatma Sapta tvag ashta vitapo navaksho Dashaj chadi dvikago yadi vrikshaha Ekayano svau dvifalas trimulas Chaturasa panchavida shadatma Sapta tvagashta vitapo navaksho Dashaj chadi dvikango hyadi vrikshaha Sapta tvadashta vitapo navaksho Nada disso. Ekayanam, the body of an ordinary living being is fully dependent on the material elements, asau, death, dvifala. In this body, we are subject to material happiness and distress, which result from karma. Trimula, having three roots, the three modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, upon which the body is created. Chaturasa, four rasas, or tastes. Panchavida, consisting of five senses for acquiring knowledge. The eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and touch. Shatatma, six circumstances. Lamentation, illusion, old age, death, hunger, and thirst. Saptatvak, having seven coverings, skin, blood, muscle, fat, bone, marrow, and semen. Ashtavitapa, eight branches, the five gross elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and also the mind, intelligence, and ego. Navaaksha, nine holes. Dashachadi, 10 kinds of life air, resembling the leaves of a tree. Dvikhaga, two birds, the individual soul and the super soul. He, indeed, Adivriksha, this is the original tree or construction of the material body, whether individual or universal. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The body, the total body and the individual body are of the same composition, may figuratively be called the original tree. From this tree, which fully depends on the ground of material nature, come two kinds of fruit: the enjoyment of happiness and suffering of distress. The cause of the tree forming its three roots in association with the three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. The fruits of the bodily happiness have four tastes: religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, which are experienced through five senses for acquiring knowledge in the midst of six circumstances: lamentation, illusion,
old age, death, hunger, and thirst. The seven layers of bark covering the tree are skin, blood, muscle, fat, bone, marrow, and semen. And the eight branches of the tree are the five gross and three subtle elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. The tree of the body has nine hollows. The ears, the eyes, the ears, the nostrils, the mouth, the rectum, and the genitals. And 10 leaves, the 10 airs passing through the body. In this tree of the body, there are two birds. One is the individual soul, and the other is the super soul. Purport. This material world is compared of five principal elements: earth, water, fire, air, and ether, all of which are emanations from Krishna. Although materialistic scientists may accept these five primary elements as the cause of the material manifestation, these elements in their gross and subtle states are produced by Krishna, whose marginal potency also produces the living entities working within this material world. The seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita clearly states that the entire cosmic manifestation is a combination of two of Krishna's energies, the superior energy and the inferior energy. The living entities are the superior energy, and the inanimate material elements are his inferior energy. In the dormant stage, everything rests in Krishna. Material scientists cannot give such a thorough analysis of the material structure of the body. The analysis of the material scientists concerns itself only with inanimate matter. But this is inadequate because the living entity is completely separate from the material bodily structure. In Bhagavad Gita 7.5, the Lord says, Aparayamitastvanyam prakritim vidime param jivabhutam mahabaho yayadam daryate jagat. Besides this inferior nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mine which consists of all living entities who are struggling with the material nature and are sustaining the universe. Although the material elements emanate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, they are separated elements and are sustained by the living elements. As indicated by the word Dvi Khaga, the living elements within the body resemble two birds in a tree. Ka means sky and ga means one who flies. Thus the word Dvi Khaga refers to birds. In the tree of the body, there are two birds or two living entities, and they're always different. In Bhagavad Gita 13.3, the Lord says, Kshetra Jnanam Chapimam Vidi Sarva Kshetra Shubharata. O sign of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. The Kshetragya, the owner of the body, is also called the Khaga, the living entity. Within the body there are two such Kshetragyas, the individual soul and the super soul. The individual soul is the owner of this individual body, but a super soul is present within the bodies of all living entities. Such a throughout analysis an understanding of the bodily structure cannot be obtained anywhere but in the Vedic literature. When two birds enter a tree, one may foolishly think that the birds become one or merge with the tree, but actually they do not. Rather, such birds keep its individual identity. Similarly, the individual soul and the super soul do not become one, nor do they merge with matter. The living entity lives close to matter, but this does not mean that he merges or mixes with it. Asango hiya ayam purushah. All the material scientists mistakenly see the organic and inorganic or animate and inanimate to be mixed. Vedic knowledge has been kept imprisoned or concealed, but every human being needs to understand it in truth. The modern civilization of ignorance is simply engaged in analyzing the manam hriddesharjuna tishtati, whereas the individual soul is situated only in his own body, dehi, and it's transmigrating from one body to another. Om agyanati mirandasya gyananjana shakla chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha namo vishnu paraya krishna brishta bhutale shimate bhaktivedanta swamini tinamini namaste sarasvati devi gauravani pracharni virvishesha shunyavadi pascha chireshtarin jayo shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadara shvasari gaura bhaktavrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama rama hare hare ekayano saud vifalas trimulas Chaturasa panchavida shadatma saptatvagashta vitapona vaksho dasha chadidvikagohi adivrikshaham. The body, the total body and the individual body are of the same composition, may figuratively be called the original tree. From this tree, which fully depends on the ground of material nature, come two kinds of fruit, the enjoyment of happiness and the suffering of distress. The cause of the tree, forming its three roots in association with the three modes of material nature, material goodness, passion, and ignorance. The fruits of the bodily happiness have four tastes, religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, which are experienced through the five senses for acquiring knowledge in the midst of six circumstances, lamentation, illusion, old age, death, hunger, and thirst. The seven layers of bark coverings the tree are skin, blood, muscles, fat, bones, marrow, and semen. And the eight branches of the tree are the five growths and three subtle elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. The tree of the body has nine hollows, the ears, the eyes, the ears, the nostrils, the mouth, the rectum, and the genitals, and 10 leaves, the 10 airs passing through the body. In this kind of the body, there are two birds. One is individual soul and the other is super soul. Here in the word by word translation, Srila Prabhupada mentions rasas or tastes, and as the footnote down, it has been pointed that rasas or tastes means as the root of the tree extracts water, rasa, from the earth, the body tastes dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberations. These are four kinds of rasa, the tastes. So it's the very amazing analogy, very figuratively describing the nature or existence of the material body in this material world. Shri Radharas Bihari ki jai, Shri Gornitai ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Throughout the scriptures, material body is compared to various other objects. As we know, sometimes it is compared to a chariot, and the passenger being the soul, and intelligence being the driver, mind the reins, senses the horses. So there are various different kinds of descriptions pointing out the difference, essentially, between the object or the means for interacting with the material world and the living entity who is gaining certain type of experience through that kind of interaction. So there is a definite distinction between a living source, a living force, namely the soul, and the material energy. As it is stated here in the purport, Krishna in Srimad Bhagavad Gita points out that there are two different types of energies that are present within this material creation. One, it's inferior energy, that means material energy, and another one, it's superior, that means the living entity, which is Tathashta Shakti, the marginal energy, इस्तेते अपरयमितस्त्वन्यं प्रकृति विदिमें परम जीवभूता महाबाहो यायदम दर्यते जगत. But that he is the origin of all of those. So Krishna is the origin of all different types of elements, of all different types of energies. Bhumya parana lovayu kamana budirevacha ahankara itiya me bina prakritir ashtada. So Krishna is the origin of everything. So due to our ignorance, we don't perceive, first of all, Krishna is the origin of everything, and then what to speak, that the difference between material energy and the living self. Because what we are doing now, we are identifying material body as the self. This is the grossest misconception, because it doesn't lead to ultimate happiness that living being is hankering, whether it be in the spiritual world, whether it be in the material world, because that is the natural state of the living being, anandamaya vyasat, to acquire happiness. So within this material world, it does not gain that kind of experience. It doesn't gain that kind of happiness, which is natural for the spirit soul within the spiritual realm or within the spiritual consciousness at least. So it is very difficult for a living being to obtain such kind of experience by interacting with the material energy. And for that reason, Krishna even mercifully also provides the means that the living being can interact with the material energy, again, namely through this body. And unless one identifies with the body, then where is the question of interaction with the matter? Of course, ultimately there isn't, but within the mind of the living being, there is some kind of illusory conception that it's created, that we indeed interact with this material energy. This is very vividly experienced when somebody is exposed to any kind of virtual reality. We start identifying. It is very interesting how we can, or we may, identify with certain type of circumstance by being very engrossed in a certain type of position. Like if certain type of glasses would be provided, certain type of gloves, and we would be placed in front of certain screen, then we would be capable, at least imaginary if nothing else, entering into certain type of circumstance that is created within that screen. And it just becomes so real, it just becomes so so direct, so expressive. And we have that feeling. Why? Because again, we identify with essentially something that has nothing to do with us. Like spirit and matter, they don't mix. There's just nothing that is identical with spirit and the matter. They're completely contrary qualities. Srila Prabhupada would give example of water and oil. They don't mix. We can stir them, but still, the oil will surface out. So there is no question of any kind of real identity between those. But because we so strongly identify with something that is attractive, because ultimately it is, material energy is the energy of the Lord, so anything emanating from the Lord, it has certain qualities and features of the Lord. So we find it attractive. Essentially, material energy has no good or has no attractive qualities. But again, because it is in connection in the Lord, and the Lord Himself enters the material energy, that's why we perceive material energy to be very attractive. We know that Shirodakashaya Vishnu, when everything is created within this material world, the Lord assumes form of Paramatma, and it's there within each and every living being. But then also through the form of Garbhodakashaya Vishnu, Yat Paramanu Chadantarastam, he enters as a potency actually within each and every atom. So that potency of the Supreme Personality of God, this is something that creates attraction. So this is something that we are attracted actually. So we are not attracted to the matter, we are actually attracted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because of our ignorance, and because of course we don't want to have anything to do with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Therefore we think, oh, I'm attracted to something that it's, you know, material. I'm attracted to matter. So the living being, while being in this material world, as this wonderful analogy points out, he tries to enjoy, he tries to gain that happiness, which is mostly obtainable if one is situated like here. There are three different roots mentioned of the tree. Goodness, passion and ignorance, main branches. One can perceive some little happiness, some little satisfaction, mostly if he is situated in the mode of goodness. Because when the Sat, Chit and Ananda, the qualities of material, of spiritual existence, are reflected upon the material world, they manifest as the three modes of the material nature. So then Ananda, which is, as we stated, natural propensity of the living being, just being happy and satisfied and blissful all the time, it's reflected into this material world. It is reflected in the form of the mode of goodness. So whenever a living entity tries to obtain any kind of happiness, unless he's situated in the mode of goodness, he's not going to derive the happiness. But then what does it mean, mode of goodness? We know that it's the origin for the element of the mind. And what is the expression that we derive, or what is the experience that we derived, or how do we derive it? It comes again, it comes through the mind, it comes by the mind. So unless mind is situated, again, it's in an original position, or the source from which it is coming, namely mode of goodness, there is no question of experiencing any happiness and satisfaction. That's why whenever anything happens in life, if we are fully focused and present, then we can grasp that moment of attention. So that moment, that's the moment that it's compared, that is actually the mode of goodness. Because otherwise, if we are present, let's say we take prasadam or something and we discuss or we do something else in the meantime and we are performing certain type of activity. But again, if you're not conscious of what you're doing, if there is not that moment of goodness, the moment of presence, then there is not going to be any kind of satisfaction that is going to be derived. We will be performing activity, but we won't be practically even conscious what we are doing. And what to speak of deriving any taste, you know, from performing certain type of activity. That is going to be non-present in such kind of activity. Why? Because again, then mind was not present. Mind was not there. There was not that moment of attention. You know? So these different qualities are all mentioned here that are in relationship to the body and how the body perceives the material energy. And it's very wonderful that these different coverings of the body, functions of the body, they're all compared to the tree. And that is very often an analogy. We will find that in the scriptures that body is compared to the tree. Because tree produces fruits. Like here it is stated, there are different fruits that one can obtain. And they're compared to dharma, artha, kama and moksha. And this is essentially what everybody in this world is interested in. Of course, nowadays when the Kali Yuga is very prominent, little less dharma and little less moksha. Because not because there is no requirement, but because there is ignorance about its benefits, and specifically more in relationship to the real self. So mostly then everything boils down to artha and kama, because to have kama, one has to have artha. So dharma, artha, kama and moksha. So that's pretty much present within any kind of goal of life. That's why they're called purusharthas. Ultimately we know, yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us the highest one. Yeah, as a pancha purushartha or prema bhakti, the ultimate goal, love of Supreme Personality of Godhead. But definitely that comes later once one is realized about its real nature, being distinct from the body. Yeah. But before one attains that position, then what is it interested? What do we see that the whole world revolves around? It's just, okay, maybe acquiring some piety. Because even people don't realize that if they desire to obtain any kind of artha and kama, actually there has to be the platform of dharma. There has to be the platform of religiosity. Because if there is no religiosity, there is no following of the laws, even just from the general point of view, what does it mean, laws? Well, it means following the principles that are set up by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It means the ways how the material nature functions. The more we are conscious of the functioning of the material nature, to that extent we can derive benefit from it. And the more we are acting contrary to it, to that extent definitely there is going to be various kinds of other unwanted reactions that one will have to experience. So to the extent we are pious and we function according to the modes of the material nature and the laws of material nature, to that extent definitely one derives so much benefit. So if any kind of manifestation is there within this material creation of a certain position where one derives certain enjoyment or happiness, then it is just because somebody has been at least earlier performing some kind of pious activities. Maybe not nowadays, but at least sometimes before. Because this is how karma is manifested. That if there is any kind of happiness and enjoyment, it's just very obvious, then therefore there must have been some kind of previous pious activity that has been performed. And if that is not the case, then that there is no artha, there is no kama. So then one cannot enjoy, one cannot experience any kind of satisfaction even in this material world. And then when one even enjoys or derives any kind of material so-called happiness, chapala sukh, flickering happiness, then what happens? Because soul has nothing to do, again, as we said, with the material nature, and even though some conception of kind of enjoyment being extracted in contact with material nature might be there, still the soul experiences frustration. Why? Because nothing material can satisfy the soul. How can something that it's temporary, how can something that it's ignorant, and how can something that it's miserable satisfy Satchitanananda, satisfy the soul which is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss? It is impossible. And therefore there is a stage when the spirit soul experiences frustration and starts seeking answers through the knowledge, namely the jnana platform. So then from the jnana platform one starts inquiring, why am I suffering? Why am I placed in certain type of position that it's undesirable? Even if I gain something, what is the reason that I'm not gaining that happiness that I'm supposed to gain? Like we see in this material world, we have everything. Practically, you may say so many things are at our disposal, but still people are experiencing frustration. Because no matter how many times it may be emphasized to us, if you do this, that will make you happy. You know, whatever society says, whatever sometimes even parents say, whatever, you know, politicians say, whatever anybody says, and if we do all of those things, still we will experience dissatisfaction because it has nothing to do with the spirit soul. So therefore, then one starts wondering and inquiring what is the reason for that. It's a pretty high elevated level. So even after dharma, artha and kama, then one comes to the point of seeking moksha or liberation from this material existence. So it's a very rare state, but this is the state of a transcendentalist. And at least if nobody else, then the one, like here it has been mentioned, at least those who even try to merge within the Supreme Absolute Person. Some kind of cessation of suffering. Because this world is dukkhalayama shashvatam. But this, what yogis are aspiring for, it's very interesting, Prabhupada has been mentioning also in the purport here, saying that somewhere here, anyway, ultimately everything kind of merges in the Lord. Yes, it merges. At the end of material creation, material manifestation, everything merges within the body of Mahavishnu. So what the yogis are working very hard for, practicing the Ashtanga Yoga process, to merge within the body of the Supreme Lord, it's practically achievable by anybody. Anyone can just merge. And how is that possible? Because it happens at the end of every universal creation. When everything is withdrawn within the body of Mahavishnu, so then yogis are withdrawn and any kind of other living entities are withdrawn. And again, then manifested, because still material desires are there. And even those yogis, their merging is going to be temporary merging. So we don't even speak about Brahma Jyoti, we just speak about merging into the body of the Lord. And this is what it happens at the end of every material creation. So then what is the use practically? So that kind of moksha, it shouldn't be really the goal of life. And this is why devotees never aspire for sayuja. They may aspire for sarshti, they may aspire for sarupya, salokya, samipya. These types are fine. Why? Because they are in relationship to the Lord. They're selfless. So therefore the body just utilized for that kind of acquirement of material objects of life or the goals of life, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, it doesn't provide any kind of satisfaction. Similar analogy here that is mentioned of the two birds, sky and flying, which is very interesting, that it's comparing the two birds sitting on that tree, giving the life practically to that tree. Srila Prabhupada is giving in Bhagavad Gita from Mundaka Upanishad, Dvasuparna. That means two birds sitting on the same branch of the tree, and one bird is eating bitter and sweet fruits, and another one is just observing. Observing what? When will that bird turn towards me? Because so far and for so long has been completely neglecting me. It's just busy eating bitter and sweet fruits from that particular tree. So here it is also mentioned that there are so many different kinds of fruits. That's also interesting here. The different happiness, mostly happiness and distress. These are the fruits of material existence. And it's a constant flux. Sometimes there's little happiness, sometimes there is distress. You know? But the distress is uncommon. It's unnatural for the living being. It's just uncommon for the living being. But we are so busy. We are so busy looking for it. As Prabhupada Maharaj stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, he said that happiness and distress, it will come on its own accord. It will happen automatically. One doesn't have to necessarily endeavor for it. Even though we don't want distress, it will come. Just by our own karma. Because we are in this body, and everybody definitely it will have both polarities of happiness and distress. And even if you endeavor for happiness, many times it won't happen. So whichever way we endeavor, both will be present, because this is the nature of the material body. We are with such kind of an attitude. And then once they ask him, at the point of that conversation, at some point they asked him, that are you connected to the God? You know, are you guided by God? And then Rameshwar Swami, he replied, yes, Srila Prabhupada is guided through the parampara, through the authority, through the scriptures. He cut him and he said, no, directly. Yeah. Does God kind of speak to you? And whenever we also like try to within our life, most often, you know, we face various difficulties. But whenever one is somewhat more conscious of Krishna or tries to take shelter of Krishna, then we see how Krishna is responding. And this is that bird which is waiting for another one to turn towards him so that he can receive ultimate mercy, can receive the instructions through which he can become more connected to that other bird waiting for another one who is just busy eating bitter or sweet fruits. To some extent, everyone can have a little glimpse of that experience. Like, we may not see Krishna. Of course, we are seeing him as Archamurti. But at least our process, what means darshan? Darshan means hearing. Real darshan means hearing. So hearing from within, hearing Paramatma. And then learning how that Paramatma is distinguished from the mind, and distinguished from intelligence, and any kind of voice that it's there that guides us, usually the first one, it's always Paramatma. And then mind tries to cover it up, not desiring to, immediately looking for excuse. Yeah. And then, you know, not following the instructions that has been given by Krishna. But once we start following instructions given by Krishna, then we see, like Srila Prabhupada said, all my life I've been guided by Krishna, by the Super Soul, which is also situated on the dead tree of the body. It's there. Like once I heard Dhanurdhar Maharaj, he was talking about being kidnapped by the programmers in the early days of ISKCON. And then they really subjected him to various kinds of treatments and in many ways trying to make forget about Krishna consciousness. And then what is interesting, in such kind of circumstances, he decided to start fasting. And as soon as the senses and mind became very peaceful, that means they didn't perform their functions, and they acted practically as a transparent mediums, real transparent mediums, and he said, I could inquire and I could hear, therefore, the response of Krishna within the heart. And he said, whatever Krishna did, tell me, I did apply. And he said, within a very short period of time, I was released. I was out. He managed to stay away and practically escape from such kind of torture. So this is Paramatma. So that's a very big step. For us, it's even a big step, as I said, to somehow learn or try to perceive that difference between the body and the soul. Even just that much, that it's a very good step in the spiritual realization. But then what to speak of then distinguishing that difference between soul and the super soul? Because the greatest mistake, like we've been mentioning about impersonal yogic practice, or impersonalists, or jnanis in that sense, is that they sometimes consider themselves to be that super soul by merging into it. So here also, very interestingly, like the whole this verse as an analogy, comparing the different functions of the body, it's very nice. So here it also says that these different tastes of religion, economy, dharma, artha, karma, moksha is there. And then perceiving that different fruit of happiness and distress, there was one more, very interesting comparison. The body, or different poles of the body. That's also very interesting. There is another similar analogy given in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole story of Puranjana. When Puranjana was, Narada Muni is explaining to King Parchina Barhishad, who was very attached to the body and enjoying through the body, performing various types of sacrifices. So he also gave him the analogy, an allegorical story of the body being like a fort, and the different gates of that fort have been compared to the different exits like this here, different hollows, ears, eyes, nostrils, mouth. So in this way, if we, through analogies at least, if nothing else, understand the proper functioning of the body, and how body is not, and that even who we are guided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of the Super Soul, which is situated within our heart, and then follow the instructions which are given by that Super Soul, then ultimately we can understand that yes, coming to this material world might have been an interesting, what we maybe initially thought, experience, but it is not something that can satisfy the living being, because as a Tathashta, it has the opportunity to have that experience, material, either or spiritual one, and then therefore by the guidance ultimately of the Supreme Spirit or the Paramatma within our hearts, we can again reach back and to our original position, which doesn't identify with this temporary body through which we are experiencing this material nature. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna, pleasure. Thank you very much. One point was there in class, when we hear family member, then we remain dissatisfied. And at the same time, this comes as a responsibility also. Then what practical step we can take in that situation?
Well, we have to learn at some point to respond. Practically, we can learn. If we don't follow that guidance, then we will keep on failing over and over and over and over. Hopefully we learn that I keep on failing and I'm not getting or gaining desirable results.
So when we become stubborn and just keep on listening, our conditioned mind, which is accustomed to somehow whatever previous conditioned activities, which doesn't give us any satisfaction. But then at some point, some intelligence should be there to realize that it just makes no sense. You know, keep on, following and doing the same things over and over and over, which are not giving us any satisfaction. So at some point, hopefully, we will start hearing Krishna guiding us. And once we start applying those instructions, then we can see vast difference between, what our mind is saying and what Krishna is saying. So it's natural. That's why Vaidhi Bhakti, Nectar of Devotion, has been compared like a child walking. It will keep on falling, but, that doesn't mean that it should stop rising up and then continuing walking. So initially we don't listen, we don't hear, but hopefully having some desire to still continue with the practice of devotional service, we'll start hearing, we'll start applying. So one has to remain determined.
How do we realize that Paramatma is speaking from inside? How do we realize, or our mind is speaking?
But you can see that it doesn't come from you. First of all, it doesn't come from me. You hear the instruction. And then, as soon as the mind starts speaking, that's the second voice. This voice is described to be Paramatma, which is the instruction which is ultimately most beneficial for us. And then mind tries to give always some excuse. You'll see that most likely mind will hardly ever comply to that kind of instruction which is primarily given. You always find some excuse to go against it. So that's the conditioned mind. Because if mind doesn't have that good impression, then of spiritual practice, then it will go against it. But once it becomes so once it becomes bandur, the friend, it has the experience of the spiritual practice, then it will, whatever voice comes from Paramatma, it will immediately agree. So then it will support. So it's the second voice. Either it disagrees or either agrees. Both ways. Then that's the function of the mind. That means then condition or the purified mind. So it will disagree or it will support. But the first instruction that will appear within the heart, it will come from. So thank you very much. La Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.